This summer, for the first time in nearly 60 years, movie fans are getting the chance to see the films of Charlie Chaplin as he intended them to be seen. Maybe. Now out on DVD are The Gold Rush, Modern Times, The Great Dictator, and Limelight. These are the first releases in a project that eventually will bring most of Chaplin's features and short films to DVD. Restoring the old film stock has been a difficult process, but deciding which versions to release has been even harder. Howie Moshevitz of Colorado Public Radio reports.
Charlie Chaplin finished more than 80 features and short films in his career, from Making a Living in 1914 to A Countess from Hong Kong in 1967.
Enough of that. Why are you hiding in that closet?
Well, let's face it, I've stowed away.
You what?
I'm going to America.
Are you crazy?
While many of these were art house staples in the 1960s and 70s, they're rarely screened today. And the films people have seen are shadows of the originals. Chaplin's 1925 masterpiece, The Gold Rush, is a good example for a number of reasons. First, says George Feltenstein, head of marketing for Warner Brothers Home Video, Chaplin failed to renew the copyright on the film.
So what happened was, there was this massive distribution of bad, awful, bootleg, pirated prints of The Gold Rush. For years and years and years, from every little distributor that, you know, could get their hands on an 8mm copy.
In addition, the bad prints often had shots missing because the film had deteriorated and the damaged spots were simply cut out, sometimes by projectionists. But finding the missing frames has been easier than you might think. Serge Bromberg is a restorer with Lobster Films in Paris, a company that's working on the films.
Not all the films need to be preserved. First of all, Chaplin was very conscious of his interest, and he knew that preserving the physical material of his films was something very important to do. So on most of the film, we have preservation material or preservation elements that have been manufactured by Charlie Chaplin, sometimes right after the film was produced.
But even some of the Chaplin originals, stashed in a vault in London, had aged badly. So Serge Bromberg and his colleagues either had to work from lesser quality copies Chaplin made, or they had to search other archives for acceptable material. Bromberg's work got harder when Chaplin had made several versions of a film.
The story of The Gold Rush is a very complicated story. Basically, Chaplin recut in the film, added the soundtrack in 1942 in order to make this silent film a sound one and make some money out of it. But of course, by doing this, he, in a way, disapproved further screenings of the silent version.
So in preparing to re-release The Gold Rush, the DVD producers faced a conundrum. Chaplin had created two versions of the film. Each was sanctioned at a different time in his life. Artists change their minds all the time. In Chaplin's case, the advent of sound created a major technological shift in his medium, and he decided to adapt.
In the great gold rush, Alaska was the hope and dream of wave-worn men, the ruthless siren of the far north, beckoning thousands to her icy bosom, beckoning thousands to her unknown regions. The Chilkoot Pass was the great barrier to the gold fields. Over this pass, men faced untold misery and hardship. Many lost their lives, some fell exhausted wayside, others lost courage and turned back, but the brave went on.
The problem of alternate versions of a work of art is not new. Literary scholars have faced it for years, says Brad Mudge, chair of the English department at the University of Colorado at Denver. Mudge says the most famous example involves the two endings Shakespeare wrote for King Lear.
And in bibliography studies, this posed quite a problem because the professional model was to find the correct text. And after much soul-searching, about 10 years or so ago, scholars of Shakespeare decided that there were in fact two texts of King Lear, and neither was better or more authentic than the other. And their radical idea was to publish both of those texts side by side.
Which is what happened with The Gold Rush. The new DVD contains both versions of the picture. But other films got different treatment. During World War II, Chaplin had his longtime cameraman, Raleigh Tothrow, prepare some of his silent shorts for new theatrical screenings. They included Easy Street, The Immigrant, and A Dog's Life. Tothrow added music composed by Chaplin, along with sound effects. And in some cases, Tothrow used alternate takes of shots because the photographic quality was better than the originals. Chaplin signed off on them. Again, restorer Serge Bromberg.
In the sound era, when Chaplin asked Tothrow to re-edit from outtakes or alternate shots, He also at the same time decided that those versions would become the final versions ever of the film, which means the only approved versions possible.
In other words, these re-edited short films are the ones approved by the Chaplin estate, and they're the versions that will appear on the new DVDs, much to the dismay of some Chaplin scholars and archivists. But when an artist is dead, the estate often has the final say. Geraldine Chaplin, the filmmaker's daughter, believes father knew best when it came to his movies. But she says his survivors had a tough time agreeing on the basics, much less which versions of his films to approve.
I'll tell you what happened. This is a story. When my mother died, us eight brothers and sisters, we inherited these films, and we started fighting like cats and dogs. I mean, it was absolutely horrible. For 10 years, we fought and scratched each other's eyes out and did all sorts of horrible things to each other, trying to decide what to do with these movies. And we all thought that we knew best, and none of us were in agreement. And then Marine Carmitz and Warner Home Video came along, and they saved, not us, but they saved these movies from oblivion. They saved Charlie Chaplin from oblivion.
In the end, though, the family gave specific instructions to its partners in the restoration project, Carmitz's company MK2 and Warner Home Video, says Warner's George Feltenstein.
The Chaplin family and the Chaplin estate are very, very protective of which, quote-unquote, which version is authoritative. And in the past, there have been other releases of these films that put back in scenes that he had taken out and so forth and so on. And they did not want that. They wanted Chaplin's versions, the versions that he said were the definitive versions of the film, to be the released versions.
Though they may be the official versions, there will always be debate over whether they're definitive. For those with questions, Italy's Cinematheque Bologna, where much of the film restoration is being done, will eventually house restored 35mm film prints of most of the originals. For NPR News, I'm Howie Mofsovitz.